Good to see everybody this morning. As you see, my dear friend Enrique is here. You want to just greet the people for a moment, just to say hi? You don't have to preach. Just say hi. You can be on vacation.
Thank you. It's a great blessing for me to be here and with you guys. And you know, I want to thank you for all your support and prayer. And I just enjoy to be here. And I am rejoicing to be back home and, you know, and see all of you. And loving to be with my brother Chuck. No. I'm glad to be here.
And we're all alike, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we are. Yes.
You see the resemblance?
I am blessed. I love you guys. Yeah, I know. I love you. Jesus loves us. And we have to learn something there. We have to learn how to receive that love. And when we appropriate the love of Jesus, they have for us, we start walking in that true love. And you know, the word, you know, they are here in my spirit, you know, perfect love casts away all fear. And Jesus' love, God's love, you know. And love takes away everything that's contrary to love. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, he went around doing good, you know, destroying the work of the devil. And he said he was healing, you know. So he went around doing good, you know. We can go around doing good too. Wherever we are, Jesus with us. Because wherever we go, we do good. You know, and we destroy everything with the power of Jesus in our life. We destroy everything as against, you know, what is good. You know, love is good. You know, healing is good. You know, joy is good. You know, friendship is good. You know, those things, you know, wherever we are, those good things, yeah, everything is against those things has to go away. You know, wherever Jesus went, nobody can remain sick. When Jesus went to some place, the devil had to go. The presence of the devil is sin, you know, strife, unbelief, you know, all kind of things. But Jesus, he went to the place and he bring with him love, healing, power, joy, friendship, you know, reconciliation, unity. You know, that's in us. If we want to a house, we bring that presence of Jesus. Unity, love. He said that he with us. He will be with us always. Wherever we go, Jesus with us. His presence is with us. His power with us. We don't have to make the power. He's reading us. I just believe and let the power flow. I don't have to think about it. It's with me. You know, I don't need to make anything because he's really in me. He's living in me. He's living in you. And we are just to walk in it and what we have. You know, we have the love of God. It's one of us. Because he said, the God poured his love and our life through the Holy Spirit. The love of God. We're full of the love of God. And God's, you know, waiting for us to allow him to manifest his love through us. And the place we live almost for 6 years with my wife and my kids, you know. You have to walk in the love of God. Because people is, they've been suffering for many years, strife, enmity. They kill one another, you know. It's the world, the love of God is more powerful than anything. And the love of God take away fear and belief. And when we walk in that love, you know, people can feel the power of God in our life. You know, God's love. We are the children of God. You know, we're born of love. Yeah. That's what we are, love. You know, we are children of love. It doesn't matter when we're born in the natural, what family we're born. But when we're born again, we're born of love. And that's what Jesus tried to say when he was walking in the earth to us. You know. The religious people, they confront Jesus and they say, we are children of Abraham. You know. And Jesus said, okay. If you're children of Abraham, why are you not doing the things of Abraham? You know. But I know my father, you know, so Jesus said, you know, I'm from God. And I join to you, I'm from God. Because I'm walking in love. You know. If we walk in love, people know that we are children of God. Let's walk in love, you know. That's what Jesus wants. Then the power flow. The anointing flow. You know, we're seeking the anointing. We don't need to seek the anointing. It's in us. It's easy, you know. Learn, you know, and just walk. We are the children of God. We are children of love. We are children of good things. And that's what Jesus wants from us. They walk with him and walk like him. Destroying the power of the devil. With his presence, there is in us. Evil had to go. Perfect love casts away all fear. You know, fear is our enemy. It made you do things this against God. Fear of people. You know. You be suspicious of everybody, your friends, family. And because that fear, you cannot love people. You cannot have friendship, communion with one another. You have to have communion with one another. If we walk in that love, no fear. It doesn't matter our past or what we experienced in the past. You know, maybe you have been betrayed for the people that you love that much. And you don't need to walk and continue walking in that fear that somebody is going to betray you. Because you're going to miss what God wants you to walk in it. Enjoy people. You show love to them, you know. you know. Enjoy people. Jesus enjoy people. That's why he do good. He knew what people have in their heart. He said to them, I don't need to nobody to tell me something about people, because I know people, I know their heart. But I love them. I know what they're thinking about things, but I love them. You know, he knew about Judah, but he loved Judah. You see, that's what he said. And that's what we have to say about everybody. When somebody comes to you and tells something wrong about somebody, I love them. You see? You stop everything the devil is going to do. You destroy the plans of the enemy because you love him. Jesus said, love your enemy. I don't have no enemy. If somebody thinks it's my enemy, it's problem. Like, I love that person. I don't have no enemy. You know, they asked me in Colombia, Pastor, do you have enemy? I don't have no enemy. How about somebody's thinking to do wrong to you? It's probably because I love them. He's not my enemy. You see? If you have that mindset that you don't have no enemy, you don't think wrong about nobody. You don't think evil about nobody. Because you love people. Jesus loved people. Yeah. Bible said they walk like him walked. He walked in love. You know, I always, since I became a Christian and I knew he called me to preach, I asked the Lord, you know, you have to give me a message to preach. I preach about everything. You know, but I know what message he gave me. I know what is the message, love. That's the message that Jesus gave me to preach and to carry. Love. You know. Maybe I'm not a great preacher, but I got a message. Yeah. That's the message. Love. That's the message the guy gave me. You know. And I'm going to take it wherever I go. You know. Has to be in me, you know, and not something they have to learn to preach, have to live. Because maybe I don't have the right word to say, like people have, you know, but you have to carry the message. And that's what he wants from me. That's my message. The God gave me, Jesus gave me a message of love, you know. No convincing word, you know, like Paul said, you know, I don't have no great word to say to you. You know, my preaching is not preaching of men, you know, how men, but Paul said, you know, men, they have good words, big words, you know, and they move the crowd. You know, I'm not trying to move the crowd. I want to bring you the message that God gave me. That was Paul said. His message was preach Jesus, right? Hey, that guy carried Jesus. You know, that's what the message, I know what he said, what he was. And that's my message. And I remember what Pastor LaRose said, you want to go somewhere, you think you called to be, go somewhere and preach, you have to have a message. And I always remember that, and I always say, Lord, give me a message. Because no, I'm called to go somewhere. But I have to go with message. You know? And he gave me one. You know, love. And I'm here to tell you, love. Break walls. Love heal. And deliver. Okay? That's everything. That's the power. And that's my message. I love you.
Thank you. Good to have you back. If you would, just go to Acts 1. It is the day of Pentecost is today. It's a Pentecost Sunday. It's a celebration of when the Holy Spirit first came down upon the apostles. And I want to honor Holy Spirit this morning. I want to talk about those things because I believe there's a power and an authority that is released in the presence of God and released through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's released because of the nature of love. Because the nature of love will not leave you the same as you were. It will begin to change you and do something in you that makes you better than you were before. That is the nature of what love does, and that is what the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to do. You have to recognize that in love, when there's an uncommon love, the enemy has no response for that. He has no defense for an uncommon love. When there's an uncommon love that is stirred within our hearts, then we can see the manifest power of God, and we can see the name and the image of the Father being made manifest in this earth. Sometimes an uncommon love will do stuff that you can't even imagine, and it improves and changes you, not just the world around you. I remember an evening when there were some things that were stirred up in my son in this process. He smashes me right in the face, right on the nose. And my response was to grab him and hug him and tell him I'm not letting him go. And it didn't matter that everything was all bleeding and everything was a mess. What I needed for him to know was, even in this moment, I choose to love you. I choose to love you, not because it's within me to love you, because it's within Christ to love you. And you know, as big and strong as he was, because he was already bigger than I was at that point in time, I mean, he could have done whatever he chose to do. But instead, it took all the whole situation right out of him. An uncommon love the enemy has no response for. We reach an uncommon love by grabbing a hold of what the Holy Spirit is doing and moving within us. And when we do that, then the whole atmosphere can be changed. When we do that, then the whole purpose of God can be served. We can make manifest the name and image of Christ. Acts 10 and 38, which he referred to earlier, I said go to Acts 1. I'm going to just read 10 and 38 because we're on our way there. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, he began manifesting that which was most important. He began manifesting and doing that which is going to result in the greatest good to those individuals. Jesus manifested the name of the Father to 12 disciples. He began to love them and live with them as he had an abiding place with them. As he began to abide with them, then suddenly things were transformed in their lives. They began to see and understand how to walk in this godliness. They began to understand how to deal with life in an uncommon way. One of the reasons that Enrique went to Colombia is because in this place, he went to live among those that he was ministering to. Because as he lived there, there are no secrets in the retiro. They all see you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And therefore, whatever's in your life gets manifest before them. And what they got to see was an uncommon love. What they got to see was an actual symbol of hope that, hey, my life can be different. What they began to see and understand is that somehow, somewhere, there's enough of God available to me that I can get out of my situation. An uncommon love. And it comes because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. See, today is being Pentecost as a celebration, and it happens to occur on the same day, because that's the way God works things. It was a Jewish harvest festival of Shavuot. Or is the day it was 50 days after the Exodus? It was the day that originally the Ten Commandments were given through Moses to the people. God always works in cycles. That's why there's periods and places and moments and times. And today is one of those days. See, you have to recognize that today is what they call the Feast of Weeks. It was 50 days after the Exodus. It's the eighth Sunday since the resurrection. New beginnings. New beginnings. That festival that the Jewish people had was called First Fruits. And I'm going to show you how Holy Spirit is First Fruits. Acts 1, verse 3, he said, he presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. And speaking of the things that are concerning the kingdom of God. Okay, 40 days have already gone by. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for that which was promised. He said, which you have heard of me. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Actually, it turned out to be 10 days from now. Skipping down to verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. A witness carries a testimony. But the testimony doesn't mean anything unless they carry love with it. So that's something that's being done here. While we're in Acts, go to Acts 4. Acts 4 and 29. It says, now, Lord, see, they're praying to the Father at this moment. The persecution has already begun. And they say, now, Lord, take note of the threats and grant thy bond servants that may speak thy word with all confidence. And while thou hast extended thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. While thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place they gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. What we're seeing the culmination of the power of God. The prayer they were praying was an invitation to the Holy Spirit to come and take residence and begin to do what He can do, which was release signs and wonders and miracles. This is what the Holy Spirit comes to do in our lives. He comes for the purpose of stirring us with boldness to speak the word and to release that love that God has. So going now back to John 14, we'll take a look here and see how this began to happen. John 14 and 14. It says, if you ask me of anything in my name, I will do it. That's actually an introduction to the Holy Spirit. That statement is an introduction to the Holy Spirit. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The way that it's going to be made manifest is by the Holy Spirit. Now we'll look now, he begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. He will give you another helper. He will give you the Comforter, the one who comes alongside. That's what it actually means. The one who comes alongside. But an interesting note that word another there is allos, which means another of an exact like kind. None diminished. The Holy Spirit is no less in His authority and power in you than He was in Christ. And that this is the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him, but you know Him, and because He abides with you and will be in you. In the Old Testament, He was only to come upon them, but in the New Testament, He not only comes upon you, He is with you, and not only is He with you, He is in you. In verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In verse 28, you heard as I said to you, I will go away and I will come to you, and if you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. See, now we're getting down to the meat of what I wanted to talk to you about. See, because see, number one, He's not going to leave us as orphans. What is an orphan? He's someone without father. Someone without mother. Holy Spirit comes that He may keep us connected to the Father. His whole purpose is to keep us in the fullness of this relationship that we can have with God. He comes that we might have this place of access, that we might walk and work with the Father. He says this because I go to the Father. He said, if you would love me, basically, you would rejoice because I go to the Father. Now think about it from their standpoint. They've been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years at this point. They've been learning for 42 months. They've been learning of the Father. They've been seeing the Father being manifest. But they have yet really to be introduced to the Father other than through Jesus. What He's beginning to show them is because of what I'm about to do, you're going to be introduced to the Father. Because of what I'm about to do, because of this resurrection that's about to happen, something's going to change. Go to John 16. He says, verse 7. He says, but I tell you the truth, it's your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. In other words, unless Jesus goes away, unless the resurrection happens, unless the death happens, and then the resurrection happens, the Holy Spirit's not going to come within you. Verse 7 is the same as verse 21. If you look, He begins to speak in verse 21. He says, whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to a child, she remembers the anguish no more. For a joy that the child has been born into the world. Now, He didn't just throw that out there for no reason. He's not just all of a sudden going to start talking about childbirth. He's saying the same thing as He just has been saying all through John 14, 15, and 16, is that when I go to the Father, what He's saying is, my time has come. The fullness of the operation is here. And out of the fullness of the operation, there's going to be a birth. And out of the fullness of that birth, there's going to be a new order that is established. There's going to be a new way that is established. And that way is going to be with the Holy Spirit coming and taking residence in you. He won't just be with me, but He's going to be with you in the same way He's been with me. And because He's now with you in the same way He's been with me, you'll have the same introduction, the same access that I have had to the Father. He told them He would not leave them as orphans. He would not leave them without instruction. And see, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, is He comes and He instructs us as to what it is we're to do. He comes and begins to unravel and show us the very plan of the Father and remind us of the very words of Jesus Christ. And as He does so, He begins to change and bring transformation into our hearts. Because God is interested in changing your circumstance. But he's more interested in changing your heart. Because see, if he can change your heart, he will not only rescue you from your circumstance, but if he can change your heart, he'll keep you from being in that circumstance again. We all want somebody to ride up and roll down their limo door and hand us $1 million and go on their way. But the reality is that $1 million would probably do you more harm than good if you don't know what it is, if there's something that hasn't changed on the inside of you. He wants to change us and show us what this love is. He wants to change us and begin to manifest the love of Christ, begin to manifest the name of the Father in us. And when he can create the image of the Father in us, then that changes the world around us. That's how we affect people. He comes so that he will disclose to us what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit. In John 1, verse 33, he was told us that we would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3 and 11 adds, and with fire. Because see, there's something that begins to take a shape. There's something that begins to form within us as the Holy Spirit takes up residence. And we give him the place. We give him the permission to change our heart. There's a fire and a determination that begins to be realized within us. But it's necessary for us to recognize that this is not the same as just being born again, because there is an operation of being born again. But it is also an essential baptism of itself, an essential act in and of itself. Let's go to Acts 19. Verse 1, and it came about while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Say, some disciples. And he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Receiving the Holy Ghost is not the same as being born again. There's a separate experience that's available to us as believers. See, they were already disciples. They were already following after God. They already had allowed Christ to come into their heart. And now they were being offered the chance to receive the Holy Spirit. And because of that awakening of the Holy Spirit that was available to them, then all of a sudden things began to unleash around them. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. See, things began to change in the atmosphere even as they engaged the Holy Spirit in his presence. See, the power of God is unlocked for us. Go to Luke 11. The power of God is unlocked for us through the Holy Spirit. The love of God is unlocked in a brand new way for us through the Holy Spirit. When he was manifesting the name of the Father, he was doing so by the operation of the Holy Spirit. And you'll see that is key to even your prayers. Because see, here in Luke 11, what is he talking about? You see, he starts it out with the Lord's Prayer. He's talking about getting prayers answered. And see, one of the keys is this power of the Holy Ghost to getting your prayers answered. You'll see the verses 2 and all of it up until 8 and 9. All of it's about getting your prayer answered. And then in verse 13, he says this. Then you, if them being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The demonstration of the power of God comes in the answering of prayer. The demonstration of the love of God is made manifest to humanity through answered prayer. One of the ways that we're going to connect with that prayer more than we have in any other point in time is by coming into an alignment with the Holy Ghost. Asking Him and inviting Him into our lives. Inviting Him into our understanding. Inviting Him to come and take up residence in us. Because it's a gift that's been given to humanity. And that gift changed those disciples such that they changed the world. They lit the world on fire because they allowed the fire of God to come within them through the presence of the Holy Ghost. That same fire is available to you. That same fire is available to every one of us. And I know that for many of us, it's an awakening and maybe it's just a reminder of what's already here. But what I also wanted to say is that if you haven't received the holy baptism of the Holy Spirit, today is your day. Today is a day of Pentecost. It's a day to remind ourselves of what the Holy Spirit has already accomplished and what has been introduced into our existence and into our understanding. It's a day to honor Holy Spirit. To celebrate that we haven't been left as orphans. To celebrate that we haven't been left without instruction. To celebrate that we have someone who will come alongside us and remind us and reveal and disclose to us everything that the Father has given us. To celebrate that the Holy Spirit has come because He wants to be with us. To not just come upon us externally for a moment or a season, but to take residence with us now and forever. And so I just ask you this morning to just bow your head for just a moment and ask the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Holy Spirit this way, if you need a reminder, if you need to have someone pray with you, I just ask you, just touch base with God right now. If you don't know the Holy Spirit this way and you want to know and you want to receive that baptism in Him, if you want to receive the knowledge of Him, if you want to see that quickening and that place of receiving His power and authority, just raise your hand for me, please. See, all revelation comes through the Holy Spirit. These things didn't pass away with the apostles. They're here for us now. He's there as a gift. And we honor Him by recognizing His authority and recognizing that He is separate from being born again. And recognizing that all we have to do is ask. Thank you for your attention this morning. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence this morning.